Thanks, Sam. Give it up for Sam. I love Sam. Hey, guys. Good morning. Wow, what a weekend in Indiana. We've got Purdue headed to the national championship game. We're anticipating a total eclipse tomorrow. And it must be destiny, because tomorrow the sky will be black and gold. Right? All right, IU fans out there, I know you're ouching about that, but it's destiny, it's destiny. Well, as spectacular as that all is going to be, it doesn't hold a candle to last Sunday, right? When we celebrated a cosmic event, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this morning, you're going to hear a story of resurrection. Now, it's not as spectacular as the Son of God raising from the dead, but it is a story that testifies to the power of God and to the love of his people. And my story illustrates the fruit of suffering. We've been looking at kingdom fruit this year. This is one of the hardest lessons in the Christian life, and one we can't avoid. This message is not the end-all, be-all on suffering. Others have endured much worse and for much longer, and many still don't see the end of their suffering. But what I hope to share this morning is, from this recent season, just some lessons I've learned about pain and suffering. One of the primary texts God used during this time was 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, while the context of this passage is really about the people of God and how they suffered as followers of Jesus, God really used this passage to minister to me in a very dark season and gave me a lot of perspective. And I hope in some small way that you'll be encouraged for whatever trials that you're facing right now that you're going to face in the future. So please grab your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Once you find that, go ahead and stand with for the reading of God's word. And you can also follow along on the screen. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And when I read these verses last fall, I underlined the root word comfort 9 times. You're going to see it underlined on the screen. So let's read, and you don't want to read it with me, I'll read it. But follow along, 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. And even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. Let's pray together. Good morning, Father. You are the God of all comfort. Speak today through your word. Speak today through this story. Holy Spirit, bear fruit in our lives through pain and suffering, and do what only you can do through your resurrection power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. October 2nd, 2023, it was a warm, sunny day, perfect day to ride my bike. So after work, I put on my cycling gear and helmet and went out for a short ride on the Nickel Plate Trail, which is a rail trail near our house. I told Sharon I'd be home in about an hour. We'd have dinner and then go on to life group. I have an awesome life group, by the way. Yeah. Shout out to my life group. Love you all. Didn't want to be late for life group, right? About 50 minutes later, she got a phone call from an unknown number with the last thing she wanted to hear. Her husband was hit by a car. When she arrived on the scene, I was being loaded into an ambulance while police were interrogating the driver who hit me at the Nickel Plate crossing at 106. I was crossing a trail, and the car hit me right in my left hip. Later that evening, at St. Vincent Hospital, tests revealed multiple fractures in my pelvis and in my hip, a broken rib, a torn MCL in my knee, severe concussion. You'll know that because there were lots of crazy stories going on. And a laundry list of other injuries. And it was bad. It was real bad. Real bad. By the grace of God, I was alive, and I had no other life-threatening internal injuries. That in of itself is a miracle. When I regained consciousness that evening, still very loopy, ask my wife, ask those around me that evening, I found out what happened to me. I was hit by a drunk driver. And it was, all the stuff was processing. But for 2.5 days before the surgery, I couldn't move at all, because with a broken pelvis, I couldn't move. And the pain was so excruciating when I was transferred for an MRI. I mean, it took my breath away. I've never had a baby. I don't plan to have a baby. But I gotta tell you, if it's anything like that, I don't want to. It was bad. So I have new respect for y'all. David's prayer in Psalm 6 took on new meaning to me. He cried out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long?" My bones were literally in agony. The surgery couldn't have come fast enough. Finally, October 5th came. After a 5-hour surgery, my pelvis and hip were skillfully reassembled with so much hardware that Humpty Dumpty would be envious of me. I got good old Home Depot going on right in here. So if you need any screws, let me know. Might take a while to get them, but they're there. And following the surgery, I spent about 2 more weeks in the hospital and rehab to recover, and I was sent home with very clear instructions to not bear weight at all on my pelvis and legs for 10 weeks. It's like, that's going to be long. I was grateful, though, to be alive, grateful that my spinal cord was not severed. It could have easily been severed. Grateful for no internal organ damage, and most of all, I was grateful to be home. I lived downstairs, slept in the dining room. That's always fun when your in-laws come, they wake up and get coffee in the morning, and there you're right there. Good morning. I clumsily got around the wheelchair, had banged around the house, so much so I had to do a lot of painting recently. Chips of paint were everywhere. And there was connection, and especially at the nights, longing for connection and isolation, and a longing, of course, to walk again. I wanted to stand up so bad I'd have dreams, and we are Purdue fans, parents of Purdue student, and I had a dream that I was cheering in the team next to Zach Edey. And I was like, this is a cool dream. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I'm standing. That was a pretty cool dream. Then I woke up and I'm like, dang, I'm not standing. So I was eager of all to walk again. But I gotta be honest, I wallowed a lot in self-pity. I didn't draw near to my father as much as I wanted to. I should have. I sought mental escape when I couldn't physically escape. And I feared future pain so much that it was hard to let go of the heavy meds, and the as-needed prescription on the bottle didn't help much. I feared future pain. But by the faithful prayers of many, especially Sharon, God gave me the strength to face my fear of pain head-on and get off those meds. Still achy, stiff, and sore most of the time, I'd rather feel something than to be numb and checked out. On December 18th, I was cleared to bear weight again on my pelvis. And I was at the edge of the bed, and I stood up for the first time. Knees were kind of wobbly, and I was like, dang, I'm tall. I was like, this is good. And then I took my first steps with my Heavenly Father looking on. That was a moment I'll never forget. Since then, I've been in the process of gaining strength through physical therapy and doing a lot of swimming. That was a place where I could feel normal in the pool. And while God was healing my body, He was also healing my fractured mind and concussion. And He used a trauma therapy called EMDR, And Groff and Associates, Sally Groff and her husband are here. Amazing therapy. I won't go into the details of it, but I had that accident had triggered a previous accident that I had when I was 13 years old, also riding a bike and also getting hit by a car. So either you can think of it, I'm 0 for 2 or 2 for 2. I'll let you decide. But I tell you, I testify through that EMDR therapy that God brought peace to the pieces in my mind. Now, I know there's still a few screws loose, but he brought peace to the pieces of my mind. And last month, I can testify that I completed physical therapy. I got back on my bike for the first time and rode the same rail trail since the accident. I know, right? And I stand before you testifying to God that 6 months later, I'm healed and healing. So again, I just praise to God. I thought about Psalm 103, and the psalmist cries out, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." I have my life back thanks to the power of God, skilled and compassionate medical professionals, and the prayers and generosity of so many others. And in the next few moments, I just want to share my gratitude to many of you. I'm grateful for all the people that God used in my life to support me, support Sharon and I, and restore me. Sharon, of course, you get first shouts out, hon. 34 years we've been married. She's been with me every step of the way. This one really tested our vows of sickness and in health. She saw me at my lowest and took the brunt of my worst and still does, and she stayed faithful. I love you so much. Dang. Yeah, right. Our adult kids dropped their lives in Nashville to be with me. They were there for me when I was unconscious, awake, and all drugged up. So they've got stories if you want to know what's going on. I benefit from Maddie's compassionate skill as a pediatric ICU nurse. Grant's company manufactures wheelchairs, and they donated the slickest carbon fiber wheelchair that I got around in. And then Hannah, Grant's wife, had the thoughtfulness to remember that I have a thing for frozen chocolate drinks from Dunkin' Donuts. Yep, I have a thing for them. And by the way, it's pretty cool when your kid's education pays off, right, to help dear old dad. So, yeah. I'm grateful for my extended family who loved me from afar, sent me care packages, came from Philadelphia to see me today. My mom, Meg, Mike, Harry, so glad you could be here for the Eclipse, for the Purdue Championship, and to see today. So thank you. They're all Rutgers grads, so there you go. I'm grateful for friends who have walked with us for many years, Dan and Karen Benson and Vince, dude, here with me today. Anytime Vince wants to talk, he just texts me, dude. That's it. I text back, dude. It's our little thing. So, love you. I'm grateful for a total stranger who stopped at the scene of the accident to attend to me and called Sharon. She just so happened to take the different road that day. She just so happened to be a nurse with trauma care experience. And her name's Lisa, and she's right here. Thank you, Lisa. And I'm so grateful for all the healthcare workers who God used, especially my surgeon, Dr. Peter Waske, who put me back together. He's also here today. Can you wave? He's like the F-15 pilots of surgeons. The guy to put this all back together. Thank you, Dr. Waske.
Look at your move.
Yeah, right. That's right, Josh. I know. I'm grateful for my work team, my Chorus family, Mike Evans, our CEO. Mike, you guys covered for my work so that I could work on getting better. I love you, man. Thank you. Yeah. And then I'm grateful for the generosity of the body of Christ, those from our former church, Grace Church, Sharon School, Mission Christian Academy, the Fishers YMCA, and of course you, our Antioch family. Thank you to our elders who came and prayed for me and walked with me. Our pastors, love you guys, and many others, I love you so much. I received countless cards and prayers from you and your children. Even though the kids are not in this room, I want to thank them for their ongoing prayers. I got to tell you, when you're in a wheelchair, you get a perspective. And the first people I see when I roll in are the kids. And I don't ever want to forget that perspective, right? God gives us different perspectives. To see them eye to eye. Sometimes they jump on my lap and it would hurt, but that was okay. Because I love them. And their prayers and your prayers paid off. As a person who likes to help others, it's been a humbling experience to receive the help from others. And yet, we needed it. I needed Rise to the YMCA. Sharon needed a meal. She continued to teach first grade. And she couldn't stop her life. And we needed the encouragement throughout this season. Thank you for those of us who loved us in so many practical ways. And my man, Josh Brown, coordinated it all for me. Thank you, brother. I love you. One of the lessons I learned was that real help is not a polite, let me know how I can help. I'm the master at that. Sharon really does not like that when I say that. It's not, let me know how I can help. Real help is proactive. It's showing up. And so thank you to all of those of you who showed up in our lives. We're deeply grateful. Okay, so what have I learned from this trial? What fruit can be gained from this suffering? So let's go back to our primary text, verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. First and foremost, I've learned through the suffering that God is the source of all comfort. He's not the source of some comfort. God, our merciful Father, is the source of all comfort. I mean, he said that to me. He said, Ron, I want you to circle that word all when I was in that passage. It was November 28th, and he said, circle that word all. I am the source of all comfort. He knows what we need. He's always working. He's always present. The Greek word for comfort is paraklesis. Paraklesis. Josh is all about the Greek, right? Paraklesis means to come alongside, encourage, console, and comfort. Paraklesis. It sounds very familiar to another Greek word, parakletos or paraklete, the Greek word for comforter, which means one called alongside. No wonder God is the source of all comfort. He sent us the comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one called to come alongside, to be with us always. Always. God is the source of all comfort. I hope that today, for those of you who wonder, is he here? Is he there for me? I want you to remind you, he is. He's the source of all comfort. He's there for you. And during some of the most painful and isolating times in the hospital, God comforted me in some pretty extraordinary ways. The first night in my room, it was very late, I heard shuffling sounds, and I thought it was the nurse coming again to draw blood from me, kind of like a very nice vampire, but coming to get more blood from me. And I realized there's nobody in the room. There wasn't a physical person in the room, but I knew it was Jesus. I could feel his presence. I didn't see him, and he was just checking in on me. He was there for me when I needed him the most. Other times, I would hear his voice in my spirit saying, Ron, I'm here. I'm right here. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Sometimes you need it. It's not this, oh, God is present. It's like, is he present for me right here, right now? He is. God comforted me when I cried out to him in pain. I don't do that well with pain. Sharon's, one of her affectionate terms for me is comfort boy. Not so good with the pain. Not so good even visiting hospitals. The pain was so severe at times that I couldn't even use words to pray. One night in the hospital, strange utterances started coming out of my mouth. I can remember my leg was hurting so bad. They weren't words in English, but they were real. And I realized that God, in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, God's given me a prayer language to like communicate to him. It was this new channel of intimacy when I couldn't even form the words. And that gift is still with me today. I wanted it for years. And he's like, well, maybe you didn't need it. Now you do. And we're gonna keep that going. So let's go back and look at our text to find some more fruit. Verse 4. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Did you pick up on the so that? He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. The other fruit of suffering I learned is that we are called to comfort one another. We are called to comfort one another. Whatever comfort we've received, we are called to share it with others. That's why we have a community. That's why we're here, to carry one another's burdens, to pick one another up when we fall, and to encourage one another to keep going. Solomon talks about this in Ecclesiastes 4. He says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. I noticed many people in the hospital alone. They had no one to reach out to other than wonderful healthcare workers. But that's a tragedy, friends, right? To have no one to reach out. I, on the other hand, I was surrounded by the family of God, the people of God. We are called to comfort one another. It is a gift that God has given us. Many of those who comforted me had been through your own suffering. You were comforted by God, and you comforted me. I know, I heard your stories. I know your stories. Some of you, you're still suffering through it. And I just appreciate you sharing what you've gone through for me. You know, God uses suffering to remind us that he alone is the source of all comfort and that we're to comfort one another. God also uses suffering to prune us for his purposes. God prunes us for his purposes. He's the master vine dresser who skillfully cuts off dead and dying branches during the winter seasons in our lives so that the next season will be even more fruitful. This master vine dresser understands that during the winter of suffering, it's not pretty on the surface. It's gnarly. If you've ever seen old grapevines in the winter, you're thinking, any fruit's going to come out of that? That's kind of how I felt. I'm like, what is going to come of this? But the truth is, during the winter, that's the season for the roots to go deeper. That's the time of when they're looking for nutrients, they're looking for sources of water, so that when spring comes, even better fruit's going to come. I don't know how that happens, but I know that he's forming our character in those seasons, and he's forming endurance and perseverance in us. Verse 6, even when we're weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we can suffer. We will not see the fruit of suffering right away. Just like the old vine that's pruned in the winter, the fruit is not seen for months till harvest time. You may not see the fruit of suffering in this life. You may not see it till we're on the other side. It will come, though. The fruit will come. But you may not see it now. God prunes us for his purposes. We need to patiently endure the suffering and hardship so that God, our merciful Father, can produce the best fruit for his sake and glory. Some of the best wine comes from pruning over the years. As that vine continues to prune, it produces less, but it produces better wine. But that's hard, you guys, getting pruned. That's so hard. And one of the hardest parts of this pruning process was being honest about the feelings of the drunk driver who hit me. I mean, when I thought about him in the early days and weeks after the accident, I mean, deep anger rose in me. Like, you could see it. How could he? Like, what was he thinking about getting into that car? It was Monday afternoon. For God's sake, why didn't he take an Uber? It's 2024. I mean, I was just beside myself. I was so angry at times when I thought about him. It was preceded, I hate to say this, by several expletives in my mind. That blankety blankety blank blank blank. That's how I felt. And if he showed up at my door, I would have punched him in the face. But then again, I was in a wheelchair, and that wouldn't have worked, so I would maybe rolled over back and forth on his foot. Not a good plan. So after I settled down, the Lord settled me down, he firmly reminded me of my own sin. Not just the driver's sin, but my sin. And God convicted me that he did not think of the driver as a blankety blank blank blank. He firmly said to me, "That's my son. Use his name when you pray for him, and you're going to pray for him. Use his name." That pruned me. That pruned me. It took a while, but I knew I'd get there, and that the only way I knew I could get there was through the cross, right? That on the cross, Jesus forgave those who hurt him and all of us who sinned against him. I mean, to the executioners who drove the nails through Jesus' hands and feet, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." What kind of love is that? When I saw forgiveness through the eyes of Jesus, I was able to come to a place of forgiving the driver. And really, who am I to withhold forgiveness when Jesus forgave me of all of my sin? Jesus said in Luke 6, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." I believe Jesus' forgiveness on the cross, who caused for his forgiveness on the cross for us, who caused him so much pain, might be the ultimate fruit of his suffering. Forgive others as you have been forgiven. And forgiving others who've caused us pain might be the ultimate fruit of our suffering. Forgiveness. Without forgiveness, the dead branch of bitterness, it weighs us down. It's dead. But with forgiveness, God prunes us. There's new life. There's freedom. There's joy awaiting us. So while we're in this space, I want to take a moment of reflection. So if you don't mind, close your eyes. And I want you to picture someone who's hurt you that you need to forgive. It might be a recent situation. It might go way back. In your mind, who do you see? Who do you need to forgive? You can open up your eyes. Now, depending on the nature and the frequency of the sin, it's likely going to be very hard to do this. It is not easy. It's one of the reasons that we're beginning a ministry called Freedom Prayer. You've been hearing about it. Freedom Prayer Ministry, we want to create a space for you to walk through hard things with the help of others that have were situations that have bound you up and bogged you down and weighed you down. On this side of the cross, on the resurrection side of the cross, we are made to live in freedom. Jesus declared these words in Isaiah. When he came to his local synagogue, he unrolled the scroll and he declared these words from Isaiah. I want you to listen to it from the standpoint of what it must have meant to them for Jesus to say these words. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and to release from darkness for the prisoners. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to proclaim freedom for those held captive. That's good news. You are not made to walk bound up and unforgiven, and you're made to forgive others. So I'd like to invite the band to come up. You know, I don't have all the answers to why this happened to me. The truth is, we live in a fallen world where bad things happen, period. Bad things happen. And it's naive to think that we're somehow immune from pain and suffering, right? And Jesus said it clearly. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. He's speaking plainly. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Yes, we will have trouble in this world. But God is good. I believe that. God is present. He's right here, right now. And God does not waste our pain and suffering. He uses it all for his purposes. He uses it to shape us more and more into the one who suffered more and more than anyone. Jesus' suffering had a purpose. Our suffering has a purpose. And just days before the accident last fall, you might remember I preached from Hebrews 12. And in a way, God used that passage and sermon prep to prepare me for what I was about to endure. I remember even saying, if there's any time people are about to endure or about to go through a trial, this message might be for you. I was preaching to myself. Because I remember in the hospital listening to that going, I don't know who this guy is preaching, but this is good stuff right here. I needed to hear those words. And the writer of Hebrews exhorts these Jewish Christians to keep following Jesus even in the midst of suffering. Verse 3 says, think of all the hostility Jesus endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. This is the same application point from last fall. Don't give up. No matter what, don't give up. He didn't give up on you. He remained faithful to you. He endured the cross for you. So whatever the enemy intends for evil, God will use it for good. Whatever pain is meant to tear you down, God will use it to build up. Whatever suffering is meant to lead to despair, God uses it to lead to joy. Whatever guilt is meant to lead to shame and isolation, God uses it to lead to forgiveness, to freedom. Remember, the fruit is suffering. God is the source of all comfort. We are called to comfort others. God prunes us for his purposes and forgive others as you have been forgiven. Like we do every week at Antioch, we want to give you a time to respond. Some of you might be in a really difficult season right now, and you're like, I hear that, but I'm not feeling it right now. We'll have our prayer team up here to pray with you and to remind you that we have the God of all comfort to comfort you. So prayer team, if you'd like to come on up. Maybe you're at a place where you thought about that person who came to mind and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to do this on my own. You don't have to. You can share that and they can pray for you, because we're not meant to do this journey alone. We worship the God of all comfort. And I'm so grateful for all of you. And I also know that this story is not about me. This is our journey as Christ followers. And I pray that today, that you can walk out today knowing we're in this together to follow Jesus. Let's worship.